You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, and welcome to my first show. We have as a very special guest, the handsome, the lovely, the inscrutable, the mustached.
Mustachioed.
The mustachioed, Barrett Foa.
Hello.
Hello, hi, Barrett. Eva.
It's so great to be here.
It's so great
to be asked.
It's so great to have you. You know, I've been spending a lot of evenings at home because there's...
You have? Why? Is there a reason for that? What's going on in the world?
I'm not allowed out of the house, it turns out.
Yes. Oh, menace to society. Okay.
Imagine
Same here.
Imagine if that's actually what happened, that like it was just a joke on you and me. Everything else is normal, but they're like, we don't want Barrett and Eva to leave
just
the house.
A lockdown for these losers. Just stay out of society. You're a menace.
My point of not being able to leave the house means I've been watching a lot of television.
Yes.
And in my consumption has been episodes of NCIS Los Angeles.
It hasn't.
It has.
Well, okay. Good. Okay. Great. Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you for watching.
I'll tell you why. For several reasons. One is it runs on the USA Network.
Yes.
Yes. And the television...
USA Cartoon Express? Anyone? Anyone? Childhood? Okay, keep going.
The television in my bedroom doesn't get all the channels, but it does get the USA Network.
Love it.
So I've been spending a lot of time with Eric Beale.
Oh,
and
that's my character.
It's your character. And I just have some questions.
I probably have questions too, but I will attempt to answer your questions about it. Poor little dorky Eric Beale.
Well, my first question is, how different is your character on NCIS Los Angeles, plug, Eric Beale, how different is he from the real Barrett Foa? Truly.
That is a really actually good question. Because when I started the show 11 years ago, going on 12, I was a different Barrett than I am now. And I was coming off of doing Avenue Q and Leif Coney Baron Spelling Bee and being like the dorky, funny, weirdo, ingenue underdog thing. I sort of realized that if I could be a foil to those sort of alpha male types and sort of be beta and sort of be, go into my Leif Coney Bear, Princeton, Avenue Q, nerdy underdog thing and sort of play that up. It was a really funny balance with LL Cool J and these kinds of guys. So I sort of leaned into that and it was, and then the writers would lean into that and then they understood that I could do comedy. And so they, you know, we kind of progress together. But now I'm 11 years older. I'm 11 years older. That's like I went to high school and then college and then three more years. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
and then med school.
And then med school, exactly. Like, that is, it's a long time. And so I am so not the person. I have grown so much. To answer your question, I think I'm less and less like Eric Beale as things go along, because I feel like I'm just kind of sort of coming into my own as a person who's 11 years older.
So in essence, Eric Beale and Barrett Foa started in roughly the same place, but diverged over the years.
They did diverge. They did diverge. They did diverge. But Eric is growing into his own too, which is nice.
He is.
It's funny, and it's so weird to think about this kind of thing, because you never think about this with theater. Because
you don't get 11 years.
You're doing the same show every week. Once,
that's right.
You know, 8 times a week. And you have to make that journey the same each time. And this is just, you can actually grow. It's sort of weird and fascinating, and not what I'm used to, but it's my new normal.
Yeah. It's funny, right? Because 24 years could go by, but the Phantom is still the Phantom. He hasn't aged.
Mm-mm. It's like a Simpsons cartoon or something.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But on television, it's different. Fascinating. Yeah. And the world changed in March, and then it changed again in June. And that's kind of remarkable that we as artists and as creators and as entertainers and as humans are living such fast lives so quickly and so slowly all at the same time in these last months, and your response and experience with this last month is pretty different and kind of remarkable in terms of how your response was to political and social events previously, right? Can you tell me a little bit about how it's felt?
Social media is tricky. Whatever it is I think I am or want to cultivate on this dumb and wonderful platform called Instagram, which is sort of the only one that I'm on. I was trying to cultivate a certain look, I think, or something. I don't know. It just was like, I don't know enough information about it. It doesn't really have to do with me kind of. I mean, these are things in the back of my head. Suddenly, I just wasn't thinking about who any of those people were, because I was like, there is nothing more important than getting some of this information out there. And the way I think I did it is I kind of couched it, and the way I do it, because I think this is sort of what's worked for me. I don't want to say the way to do it because it's different for everybody. The way I did it was couching it in, oh my God, look what I just learned. I'm learning this. Do you want to come with me? Join me. I'm learning, not this is the answer. This is what's happening. We have to defund the police. It's, wait, this made me think about this differently. Look at this reframe. And it's sort of helping massage the fact that I'm going through this journey with you, and maybe you want to take it with me, because I don't know the answers either, but these are helpful to me. This is what white privilege is. I think I never really took the time to, I got defensive about whatever it is.
Sure.
And the response has been really wonderful. People want to engage. And I was expecting like a lot of pushback or like, I think differently than you.
Yeah.
And instead I'm getting, I understand what you think, but do you know any cops, or, you know, and then I'm like, thank you so much for writing.
Engagement Eva. Is happening.
And then I'm actually talking to them and not like attacking, and they're not attacking me. And except for literally one crazy lady who is just pure racism and just likes to just attack me and comment. And I just let it go. It's almost funny now.
Did she stop following you?
No.
She's
That's
not,
what's interesting.
She's not that upset.
I think usually with social media, I'm like, is this good? Is this going to be my image? Do I want this to be what represents me? And when I don't have to think about it and I just trust my gut and just send, that's how you know it's right.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's as authentic and as organic as possible, there's no second guessing. You know whose gut is really good?
Tell me.
Chris O'Donnell's. It's a really cute gut. And you get to see it all the time.
Chris O'Donnell. Chris O'Donnell. Chris O'Donnell.
I can't even.
Chris O'Donnell's, I think, turning 50.
I can't even, which just means the rest of us are old. Scent of a Woman.
Scent of a Woman, Circle of Friends, Ties, Batman, Robin.
School Ties.
Oh my gosh. It's funny. There are people that talk to me. They're like, oh, Chris O'Donnell. And then there are people that talk to me, oh, LL Cool J.
I mean, we need to get into the questions, which is the purpose of the show, but I just need it. The answer is LL Cool J as cool as he seems. And do you faint every time you're around Chris O'Donnell? Because that's how I feel about those two men.
If you saw them every day for 11 years, that some of that magic might go away like anything, but they are actually pretty spectacular human beings. Todd is what we call LL.
is Todd, that his name?
Yes. Ladies love Cool James is LL Cool J, but his real name is James Todd Smith.
Got it.
And he goes by Todd when he's on set. So it's kind of like his persona is not with us. It's like the man, the actor. It's nice because it kind of differentiates like what hat he's wearing, because he sort of has to wear the Kangol hat and then he takes it off for our show.
Right, right.
But he is inspirational, and he's like, teamwork makes the dream work, and he's a hard worker and he's a great actor, and they're both really pretty fantastic leaders. And our set is not full of divas. Mm. And we have a very well-oiled machine, and we go home at wonderful times, and we don't go over, and it's a pretty magical place in the grand scheme of television shooting.
Yeah, so not bad for a day job.
Yeah. And we have two great leaders. Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. All right. We ask four key questions to each of the guests here on my first show. Of course, yeah. I mean, listen, both me and the fans could just hear about you and only you for hours upon hours. But
I could talk clearly for hours and hours. I am, yes, okay.
But we do want to hear about your humble beginnings, which is what this show is about. The show is about the love of theater, what made us who we are as entertainers and theater makers, and how we've lived a life based on these early experiences. So yeah. I'm going to ask you to tell us about the first show you ever saw.
Okay. The first show I ever saw that really is like the one.
Yeah.
Starlight Express.
What?
Eva, I had no idea what. I was a friend's birthday.
How old? And he,
10.
Okay. Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. And Starlight Express on Broadway, I didn't know what it was. I was like, I know skating was involved, but I was like, is it junk? Like, I couldn't tell if they were trains. It was just like, you know, the ads were around, but it was like, it was Gerard Jeffrey's birthday. And so you just go because it's Gerard Jeffrey's birthday. Actually, I think his like grandfather owned the Gershwin Theater or something weird. Probably. Like that. I don't really know. You know, that's what, who knows? So we got these house seats and we got like this tour afterwards. What, I don't know what I was seeing, but I loved it. I came home and just talked about it with my parents, and it was so fun and whatever it was. They're like, well, why don't you get the recording? I was like, the what?
Someone by a cast?
Someone like press record and I can hear it over and over. They're like, yeah, go to the store. You know, I think I really was 10 or 11 and I remember going
Virgin
to 86.
Mega? Virgin
86.
Mega?
It wasn't even, it was like 86 and 3rd or it's not there anymore. 86 and 3rd or 2nd. And I walked and was like, do you have Starlight Express? It's like after school, I think I walked home. And they did. And I put it in, I remember getting home, putting it in. And everyone was singing in British accents. Oh. And I couldn't understand why, because
it was the London cast recording.
But I didn't know that. No one explained that to me. Right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, this song is different than the one I heard, you know, because the different versions, and they rewrote it. And
Yeah.
I was so confused for so long. And like, my parents just didn't have the tools or the language to be like, well, there's a London cast. And I just didn't understand. Yeah. But I went with it. I was dancing in my mirror to a lot of Locomotion and all of these songs that are just terrible and so wonderful. Mm-hmm. I know every word to that thing.
Oh my God.
It actually is fantastic. Cut to 10 years later, I'm in London studying Shakespeare and kind of all that, semester abroad. And for my 20th birthday, I went to see Starlight Express that's still playing on the West End at the time.
Amazing.
And had just like, you know, my 10-year-old brain explosion, orgasm, like all over again. It was everything.
Did you buy wheelies when they came out because you wanted to have the closest experience possible?
I did not. I think I was kind of past my express. That's funny though. I never was into like rollerblading or skating as much.
So what was it? Well, I mean, it's a great score. It's Andrew Lloyd Webber, but like, what was it about that show that made you turned on so much?
What was it? I mean, that set.
Yeah.
There was all these ramps and like ways to, it was like a maze and bridges that would just connect different. It was like, you know, like a Hot Wheels set, like, you know, come to life with people and you could like skate around it. It was fascinating. And it was also like, I mean, talk about underdogs. It was like an underdog story of Rusty, this train who, oh my God, I'm getting emotional.
That's okay. I feel you.
I've never like really kind of dissected the story before as an adult, but like Rusty, this train that no one believes in, who's kind of like creaky and old and I can't believe I'm getting emotional. I'm like creaky and old about like, you know, compared to all like the new technology and, you know, somehow some people believe in him and he sort of, you know, gets to win the race and it's a classic, you know, underdog, but oh, Rusty.
I mean, that can do it, right? Like you see yourself in the show, you're inspired to feel differently. You know, your eyes are suddenly open to something they hadn't been before. And that's why something can be that meaningful. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. And I think I was the underdog. Like I always wanted to, I mean, I was a gay kid and I always wanted to, whenever we played house, like, of course I didn't really want to play dodgeball. I wanted to like kind of play house with the girls. And like, I was like, I have a broken arm, you know, like someone take care of me. there was always something like that. So I guess I wonder now thinking about sort of the plot of Starlight Express, like, oh, maybe I saw myself in Rusty.
Yeah. Yeah. Aww. Especially with this mustache. You look like a Rusty.
I do look like a Rusty. It's got a little ginger in it, so there is a little rust in there.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
First show you were ever in. What was it?
First show I was ever in was at French Woods.
Heard of it.
I was cast in a production of Little Johnny Jones. Hmm. Little Johnny Jones is, you know, Yankee. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy and that kind of sort of George M-ish music. And I played a character, and I explicitly wanted to talk about this, because the next thing I did was, in that same summer, I played Sky Masterson in Guys and Dolls. This is eighth grade. Mm-hmm. But before that, I wanted to just specifically talk about this because I was the character of Wilson/Sing Song. And I'm sure everyone knows Little Johnny Jones, but let me just catch you up.
Yeah, please, please do. I'm a little rusty. Speaking of rusty, I'm a little rusty.
Little Johnny Jones, we don't have to spend too much time on it, but basically Wilson is like a detective. And I think he was sort of drunk and maybe British. I don't know, but a little bit.
One of those.
And also, I played the role of Sing Song, which is a Chinaman, and I'm going to say that word specifically. He is like, well, literally that like old school stereotype of a quote unquote Chinaman who, and I had a silk robe on. I'm sort of getting upset talking about it now that I think of it, and clearly I'm
all written. And this is all written in the stage directions, this probably.
Oh, yeah.
As you grew up and became an aware adult, how, and you started realizing the problematic stereotypes that are constantly being portrayed in the American theater, which is a real problem. And we've been talking about for years and talking about very loudly for the last, you know, couple months. Yeah. What did your nostalgic memory reflect on and say to you having that experience?
It's hard because it's not my place to be that person.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And in the 1980s and early 90s, or, you know, whenever I'm assuming you were in eighth grade, that the cultural appropriation was happening everywhere. And we had not evolved yet as a society to recognize how wrong that was.
Yeah.
It's difficult and it's challenging and it's complicated. And we're not going to solve it here today. That much.
But listening is, I think, that's what it's about. If someone's like, that doesn't feel right, I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah.
Sort of a new thing.
That's nice. And you're, and that's what you're doing on your social media. And the good news is it's working for you. It's evolving you and it's evolving your fans. I'm sure.
Yeah.
First paid professional gig, anything, backstage, props guy, usher, star, you tell me, but what
first
was
paid
it?
Professional gig was making $40 a week at the New London Barn Playhouse.
What?
Do you know about the New London Barn Playhouse?
Darling, it's where I saw every musical growing up that made me become a Broadway producer.
Eva Price, what are you talking about? Did you happen to see The Fantastics in 1995?
No. I was
because I was your Matt.
That summer, I was not there. I went on a team tour.
How dare you? Yeah, Matt and the Fantastics, $40 a week.
Yeah.
We also built the sets and the props.
You sure did. You lived behind the barn.
Yes, in Cubbyland was what we called it. It was about eight guys in a room in these little cubbies that they built for. It was a nightmare.
And each show started with a cowbell. Each show started with a cowbell.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Oh my gosh.
I had no idea that you were part
of Scott Schwartz directed a show that summer.
Wow.
Oh my God, Scott Schwartz.
Wow.
Stephen Schwartz's son.
Wow. I can't believe we all had these. I love Scott. I can't believe we all had these connections to the New London Barn Playhouse.
I love it.
That's funny. It was non-equity then, right?
It was non-equity, but there were like one or two equity people, contracts, who would come in for each show.
Right.
Yeah. But we were the non-equity, like interns, which is why they could pay us $40 a week.
Yeah. And did you love it? Did you know right then you wanted to do this?
Oh my God. I loved it. That was my first summer sock. And then I went on to Main State Music Theater, a music theater of Wichita, and then got my equity card at Pittsburgh Civic Light Opera. Like it just, each summer was summer sock.
Dream role. It's dream time. Dream. Now we talk about your dream role, dream show. Anything. No venue is off limits. No role is off limits. I don't care if someone already played it and did it and won a Tony for it. It's still yours if you want it. It's
there's so many ways to go about this. You know, it's like, do you just want to be in the room? Like, was it like the original cast of Company?
Like making that original Broadway cast recording too.
Yes.
Yeah.
But all those character actors kind of like, we don't really sing. And when do I cut Bobby? Well, you know, just like that, learning that in like the basement of the Schubert or whatever, like having the most fun and having the, there's something about Into the Woods. Also, I saw probably a year after I saw Starlight Express, and there's just something about that prologue. Like if I was the original Jack, like just to be in that room, that syncopation, that how all those stories weaved together. It just blew my mind when I was a kid, I remember. And then for some reason, like Floyd Collins comes up. Where I'm like, I would have loved to be in that. Like, what is that music? I just remember listening to that cast recording. I've never heard anything like this. I don't know. I feel like I should have a great answer.
That's okay.
And then also there's another like, what's in the future? Where's the future thing? Dream role. Like when are they going to turn?
Let me hear it.
When are they going to turn like Less into a musical? Do you know that book Less?
Yeah, it's becoming a movie first, but yes.
I bet it is.
Yeah.
But like someone start writing that now and I'll be the right age. Then by the time it's ready. What do you think?
I like it. Less.
I like it.
Less the musical. I'm blanking on his name. Please remind me.
Arthur Less.
Arthur.
The character.
Arthur. Uh-huh. So you're Arthur in Less the musical. Mm-hmm. Broadway. Because
who's
why
writing
not?
It? Who's All writing right. it? Is it like
know.
A Pascal Paul? I
don't
know.
It's Pascal Paul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. And
Robert of Michigan.
And you're starring on Broadway and it's 2028. 2023?
Yeah. No, 25.
2025. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a few more years on this, on the show.
Good.
Just squeeze it out, I think.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Our final section that we do
forever. I don't know what to end.
Is a surprise. It's a surprise. You don't know about it
because we don't
tell you ahead of time. Oh. It's a lightning round.
Oh, okay, cool.
Where we do a free association of classic Broadway musicals' emotional themes. Because every good classic musical has an emotional theme. So we put 30 seconds on the clock.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
And no time to think. You have to just gut answer. It can be one word, two words, three words. But the goal is to see how closely you and I match up. And only I know the answer.
Okay. Love it. Love it.
Okay.
I'm game.
Okay. Ready? Go. The Color Purple.
Finding Your True Self.
Sound of Music.
Standing Up for What's Right.
Gypsy.
Selfishness and loving someone too much.
Pippin
and Princeton. They're both trying to find their purpose.
Funny Girl.
Finding Inner Beauty, which is also like a Color Purple.
Sweeney Todd.
Obsession, Revenge, Classism.
La Cage aux Folles.
Oh my God. Again, finding that inner beauty, authenticity.
I think you did really well. I think we're pretty matched up.
Yeah?
Yes.
Where did we diverge?
I think authors would be proud. Rights holders would accept.
Oof. It's interesting how they all kind of, there's a lot of overlap.
Well, what I think, first of all, you're right. There is a lot of overlap. But what I think is even more interesting is that the overlap of these emotional themes are also an overlap to how you view yourself and you view your life and you view your comfort level. You said it 20 minutes ago when we first started. Authenticity is the one thing that makes you feel confident and makes you feel good. And I don't think that's a mistake. or a coincidence.
Oh, it's so beautiful, Eva.
Yeah.
That I'm seeing those themes pop out. I mean, it's I'm doing so much work on myself with therapy and meditation and all the things that I folded into my life to be like, how do I make sense of this world? And how do we go through it without it, you know, just dragging us down?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tools out there.
Yeah.
And it's easy to be pulled down. And it's also easy to be like, I have tools to help me not do that. And I'm going to poke around and see what is working for me. And it feels good to come into your own and maybe morph into something that's not the underdog, and to maybe be a leading man, or to be a more confident, authentic man,
yeah,
not boy, that like listens, that can listen to their gut and take action. It's a nice journey.
Yeah, I like that. And you know, you played Pryor in Angels not long ago.
Oh,
and I'm curious if this theme really resonated there too.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. It absolutely did. Okay, let's go back to Angels in America. Someone gave me that script in 96, and I was like, I don't understand half of the words. This is, someone's like, oh, you're going to be Joe Pitt. Like, you one day you'll play Joe Pitt. And I was like, this is for real actors. This is for people who are much better at this than I am. I'm just a XYZ, like musical theater, chorus boy, whatever I thought that I was or all I could do at that moment. And then, you know, I'd work on Joe Pitt in an acting class like everyone did. And then I saw revivals, and they affected me greatly. And then suddenly someone's like, we'd like you to play Pryor. And I was like, wait, no. I'm sorry. I think that you think that this is a wrong offer. I'm more of a Joe Pitt. Let me just read it. Because Pryor is scary. Pryor is vulnerable. Pryor is fabulous. Pryor is sharp-tongued. Pryor is ugly and yucky, and he's dying. He has gross things on his body, and I don't think that's me. I'm the, you know, like, it was like, you know, this when you paint with like old colors. And I read it, and I was like, oh my God, I'm Pryor. I never saw that. I never thought that. And if this came to me a month, a year, a day ago, I would have been like, nope, I cannot do this. But it came to me at the exact right time where I was like, oh, I am funny enough. I am fabulous enough. I am vulnerable enough. I mean, he's the hero. It is such an amazing arc for that character, and a part to play, and a world to research, and just Kushner it was wonderful. We had an amazing dramaturg. We had a fantastic theater. We did it at the Repertory Theater of St. Louis with an unreal cast. It was a very, very special experience. We did both parts. Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. And I couldn't have done it. It's the growth is how.
That's right. Eric Beale might not have been able to do it, but Barrett Foa can.
Yes.
That's the difference. Oh, that's Barrett, it. This was such a delight.
No,
we're out of time. I'm so sorry. We could talk for hours, but
more lightning rounds.
But the internet is not big enough for us.
No, it's not for my caffeinated personality.
It's not big enough for the two of us. Thank you. Thank you for sharing all this with us today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being the entertainer that you are and the beautiful human being that you are. And we will get through this time together, and we'll get back to the theater soon enough.
Oh, I can't wait to see you there.
Me too.
Thank you, Eva. This was so lovely and so easy and fun.
Thank you, Barrett.
That's all my alley. Thank you.
Thank you, Barrett. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Maybe all the pain I know into the woods, but even still. My First Show is produced by Josh Altman, MEP, Dori Berenstein, and Alan Seals, and is part of the Broadway Podcast Network. This episode was edited by Derek Gunther. Special thanks to Leslie Papa and Whitney Holden Gore at Vivacity Media Group. For more info about the podcast, visit bpn.fm/myfirstshow. Follow me on Instagram at Eva R. Price.
To go to the festival, into the woods to grandmother's house. Into the woods to grandmother's house.
The way is clear, the light is good. I have no fear, nor no one should. The woods are just trees, the trees are just wood. No need to be afraid, there's something in the clay there. Without delay, but careful not to lose the way. Into the woods, who knows what may be lurking on the journey. Into the woods to get the thing that makes it worth the journeying. Into the woods
to see the key,
to sell the cow,
to make the potion,
to see, to sell, to get, to bring, to make, to lift, to go to the festival. Into the woods.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.